Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Time to get the latest on Utah athletics from our Utes Insider here on The Bill Riley Show. The Utes Insider is presented by the Dish Professionals. Now here's Bill Riley with a Utes Insider on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Got a lot to talk about with our Utes Insider today, Stevenson Sylvester. We'll talk spring football game Saturday. Some NFL draft stuff as well with Sly as we try and get him on here, efforting here. On this Monday, if you want to reach the program, feel free to do so, 877-353-0700, if you want to get in and on board today. Text message in, says, I'm not a BYU fan, but what do you think the Jets do with Zach Wilson this year? Well, he's a backup. He's going to back up Aaron Rodgers. That's his role right now, is he's going to have to try to rebuild. He's probably, I don't know if I would say, because I don't know the situation well enough, I don't know if he's done forever with the Jets, but they're bringing in Aaron Rodgers with every intent to be the guy for the next year or two at least. So Zach's going to have to play the role of backup, going to have to kind of rebuild the reputation a little bit, and he'll probably have to start over at another team. I said this before and I'll say it again. I don't know that this is necessarily the end for Zach Wilson. I don't. It just may take him going to a different team, a different club, a different franchise to get a fresh start again. That's all. It happens to different places. I mean, if you just want to go in the BYU family, again, I'm not saying he is this guy, but Steve Young was not very good at all with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then he got his second chance again with the San Francisco 49ers, waited his turn, and ended up having a Hall of Fame caliber career. So, again, I'm not saying Zach Wilson has a Hall of Fame caliber career, but he may have to go to a different spot to restart his career again. Stevenson Sylvester joins us right now. Sly with us. We'll talk some spring football and also some NFL draft stuff. Somebody was just asking me on the text line, Sly, about Zach Wilson and what the Jets do with him this year. I think he's Aaron Rodgers' backup, right?
Yeah, of course. Why would you go anywhere else? Right now, he has the ability, and this is what a lot of guys don't understand. They just think that, like, oh, I was a high school star, I did good in college, and I can just do whatever I want at any level. If you can take the opportunity to learn from a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he needs to learn. Take this instance, right? I had a bad year last year, inconsistent. People got questions. The city of New York is very hard. But I have the ability to learn from one of the best to ever do it. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to take that in stride, and then I'm going to go be the guy that – because, one, he was a first-round top 10 draft pick, and so he's going to be around. He's going to get opportunities that others don't. So with that notion, take it and learn from other guys, right? Like Aaron Rodgers had to learn from Brett Favre. You know, people had to learn from others. If he can take this time to really develop his skill, understand where he went wrong, right? Like, where did I go wrong before? How can I fix it? And how can I find success, whether that's preparation from week to week, or that's my off-season training, or my mindset going into games, or how I'm reading, whatever it is that I need to change, you know, let me figure that out. And I can take that while being the backup quarterback. And one, he has the opportunity to be around a really good team. The Jets have really invested in surrounding Aaron Rodgers with the right type of people. They got a great defense, good offensive line, good young running back and receivers. Just understand what it takes to go forward. I wouldn't take it as a knock, just take it as a learning opportunity.
It's hard to play as a rookie in the NFL. It's really hard to play as a rookie as a quarterback in the NFL. and he was probably thrown into the mix too soon. Now he has a chance after 2 years to step back, reset things, as you said, perhaps learn a little bit from Aaron Rodgers, rebuild his reputation in that locker room a little bit too, and go from there. Maybe he doesn't get another chance with the Jets, but maybe he'll get another chance somewhere else. I think he's got too much potential talent not to get another chance somewhere. It just may take a minute.
Yeah, I exactly. And that's what he's got to say. He's got, like, I got time. Right now, like, I'm not in the dirt. I'm not, you know, in free agency looking for a team, scratching and calling. I do have a team. Let me find a way to hone my skills. And I can do that. You know, there's advantages to being the backup to Tom Brady. There's advantages to being the backup to Aaron Rodgers. And so if you can learn how to be that consistent quarterback, go in and win. He has a talent. We've seen the last 2 years. He can throw a good ball. He has athleticism. There's just things that he needs to develop. You know, he's in a really tough division with Buffalo, Miami, and New England. Like, it's going to be hard, but learn how to be able to compete week to week, what I'm missing, what I'm doing, really hone in your skills so you can be that quarterback of the future. Sometimes it's going to take a year or two to where you take a back seat to be able to highlight yourself or be able to put yourself in position. Like, I think Geno Smith right now was in that same deal. He was thrown into the fire with New York. And he took a while before he got his start, but I don't think Geno Smith has ever had anybody to learn under besides Russell Wilson. Never had anybody to learn under the way that Zach Wilson has this opportunity. So if I were him, I would take this opportunity. Don't think it as a knock. Think it as something where I can develop my skills for when I get my next opportunity, I won't miss.
Opportunities have been provided this spring for Brandon Rose and Nate Johnson. Unfortunately for Nate,
yes.
I don't know that Nate's been fully able to take advantage just because of some nagging injuries he's been dealing with. He's seen some practice time. I hope he's able to practice this week and get out on the field for the spring game. But this was going to be a spring slide where it was going to be a real quarterback competition. Utah was going to get a real chance to evaluate Rose and Johnson and see where they're at and see if they could be the number two guy and maybe be the guy of the future. I'm not sure they've gotten the best look that they could from both these guys. Certainly they've seen Rose a lot. Tell me what you've seen so far this spring, practices and scrimmages you've attended, and kind of give us your view of the backup quarterback position behind Cam Rising right now at Utah.
Yeah, I've been to a few practices, but been reading articles about how everything's going, and just from the things that I have seen and with things that I have read and what it translates, you're not going to be able to feel, as I said before we started spring ball, like, the key here is getting reps, many, many reps. Injury is, of course, something that will never help you in getting reps. And so Nate Johnson hasn't been able to get as many reps as Brandon Rose. So, of course, somebody's going to have the advantage as far as that goes. Bryson Barnes, of course, being in the system, knowing the ins and outs on what to do. He's just refining his skills right now, has the advantage on both of these guys. But I think Brandon Rhodes has done a tremendous job of just coming in with absolutely no expectations, right? You know, he's just like, look, I'm just going to make it happen. If I play this year, I don't. If I get QB2, I don't. You know, but I'm going to refine my skills, as Zach Wilson should take this approach too, as far as his mindset. But I think Brandon Rose is just coming in here. It's like, look, I'm going to give it my best shot and do what I can, do what I know how to do. And that's all you can ask for. So I think the pressure is a lot less. You know, from Nate Johnson, I feel like, you know, he's taking upon himself to kind of, you know, be that guy. It's like, look, I need to show a lot. You know, there's a lot of talk about me. Instead of just focusing on, you know, the task at hand, and that's just being quarterback. You know, we do have Cam Rising. These guys need to understand that Cam Rising is QB1. That is something that is non-negotiable. And so you got to really just take advantage of your learning opportunities here. Being healthy is one of them. And so Nate Johnson, hopefully he can get more healthy to be full speed come fall camp and even take strides here in the summer. But this is all a learning experience for everybody. You know, I think, of course, final decisions won't be made until that last week of training camp, getting ready for Florida. So these guys do have time. But experience is the best teacher, and if you're not out there, it's not helping you.
I think their hope, and this was maybe best case scenario, their hope was, well, maybe we figure out who our number two guy is here in the spring. I'm not sure they're going to get that. Is it a bad thing if this backup quarterback competition goes into fall camp?
No, not a bad thing at all. Honestly, if you talk to Coach Witt, he talks about competition is great. It's great because it elevates not only that position group, but everybody around it. Because if that position group wants to do good, they're going to demand everybody else do good, especially the quarterback position. If you get your second and third units getting the level of competition of somebody who's competing for either a starting job or the backup quarterback job, you're going to get the best out of them. You're elevating the level of play on both sides of the ball. And so Coach Witt, all the coaching staff, I know from firsthand that, you know, they love competition. And so I know Coach Witt won't make a decision until he's absolutely certain. You know, there's got to be an undeniable reason to name a number two quarterback at this point. Like we said, that Jaquindon Jackson, Bryson Barnes went all the way into to fall camp as well last year. And so even now, there's tons of guys between Matt Coward, Nate Johnson, Bryson Barnes, Brandon Rose, who are going to be vying for this quarterback position. So this not only elevates the quarterback room, but it elevates the people around them. And then, of course, they are ready for that opportunity. Say Cam Rising isn't ready to go for week one, they'll be ready to go. Say Cam Rising isn't able to finish a game throughout the season, or, you know, they're blown out of team. Whatever it is, that next man up is going to be ready for the opportunity, just like Bryson Barnes was this past year at Washington State. He was able to come in and lead Utah down and get a victory that week.
Our keyword, by the way, for this hour, if you're interested in entering our Cypress Credit Union 1K a day giveaway, is hungry. Hungry. Like, it's the noontime hour. You're probably a little hungry for lunch. Text keyword hungry right now to 33986. Text keyword hungry now to 33986. And that will get you in and qualified for that $1,000 that we give away at the end of each and every day. So we'll see how that goes today. Text keyword hungry to 33986. If you're hungry for some football, we'll have it for you Saturday. Noontime, the 22 Forever Spring football game. Myself and Scott Mitchell. Our guy Dave Spatafor, who's listening today. Spat's driving down to St. George, will be on stats. We'll have Matty Robles spotting, Alonzo engineering. Sly won't be with us, though. He always takes the TV offer when they give it to him. He leaves his radio friends behind, so he'll be doing a little TV for the Pac-12 Network this week, right?
Yeah, they came at me right after the Rose Bowl, and I'm just like, all right, I'll do it. You know, it's been good luck. I've been doing Pac-12 for the spring game the last 2 years, so we made it. We got two Pac-12 championships out of it, so I'm hoping to make it a third.
We'll see if that streak continues. Still a lot to be determined. What are you looking for Saturday when you're going to be on the broadcast Pac-12 Network Saturday? What has your eye or has your attention, or what are you curious to see on Saturday?
I'm seeing a lot of young guys, you know, getting that experience that they need, right? You know, we've had scrimmages and everything, but I want to see a lot of the guys that we've been talking about. You know, I want to see how they're going to tribute this 22 Forever game. You know, of course, the quarterback competition is going to be great to really see that on display for everybody to see. I know we've been talking about it week to week, I really can't wait to see that. But another thing is on offense. Miki Sugaturanga, you know, I've been talking to Freddie Whittingham at the couple of practices that I've seen, and Fred loves Miki. He says that Miki's doing a tremendous job. He's got a lot of things to refine, but he's doing a tremendous job at that tight end position. And he said, surprisingly, Miki can catch really well. So seeing him at that tight end position, we know that at tight end position is very, very important for this Utah offense. I think Logan Kendall was a great benefit to us last year. And if Miki can take that role, that would be awesome as well. Our defensive backs on defense is very interesting to me. I've been to the practices I've been to. It's been great to see Miles Battle. I think his stature is awesome, right? You know, honestly, if him if he and Zamaya Vaughn switch numbers, you wouldn't know the two. They're both really tall. They're about 6'2", 6'3", and lanky and fast. These guys are really good. Talking to Sharif Shah at practice, he's like, Zamaya is becoming becoming the man. He is really turning the corner from his offensive days to being a cornerback all of last year. He's really coming into his own. And Sharif Shaw absolutely loves his development. And really, he said that Zamaya is going to jump off the charts at people this year in the Pac-12. So he might be an all-conference player to look forward to, Zamaya Maud's development. But Miles Battle coming in from Ole Miss, he's been great. You know, of course, we're not going to be able to see Dumuni in the spring, but, you know, very excited from what the coaches have said about him wanting to be involved with the program and what he could bring to this year. So a lot of the young guys are transfers. The new faces like Logan Fano, Spencer Fano, Mikey Matthews, you know, getting these guys and seeing them on full display in the 22 Forever game is what I'm most excited about on Saturday.
Sly with us for a couple more minutes here on the Bill Riley Show on ESPN 700. We're 10 days away from the NFL draft. Clark Phillips, Mo Diabate finishing up some visits this week. Dane Brugler of The Athletic, he did a really good job, did a 259-pick mock draft today, all seven rounds. He had Bryce Young going one to the Panthers and C.J. Stroud going two to the Colts. I'm sorry, the Texans. But here's where he had the local guys. He had Dalton Kincaid going 21st overall to the Chargers. He had Clark Phillips going 76th overall, third round, to the Patriots. He had Blake Freeland, the tackle from BYU, going 117th, fourth round, to the Patriots. He had Jaren Hall going fourth round to the Chiefs. And he had Braden Daniels going fifth round to the Baltimore Ravens. Those are all good landing spots for those guys. What do you make of those locations?
Well, I mean, the one that jumps off the charts is the Blake Freeland one. I didn't think Blake Freeland would drop that much.
I didn't either.
I know. I saw Blake Freeland late second round. You know, a lot of people say he's a first round guy, but I got him mid to late second round. Clark, honestly, with the knocks and you know the draft, it's a combination of hype and playing this chess match with other teams to get the guy you want, but honestly, Clark Phillips is a Bill Belichick type of corner. Tough. You can put him on an island. And the comparative that, you know, JJ and Sam made was to Darrell Revis. I don't know if he's at Darrell Revis level, but the way that people utilize Darrell Revis, you can do with Clark Phillips. Whether it's in zone or man, you put him on an island. He is your lockdown guy. So I think Belichick, that Patriots, I really like that. You know, I think he's more of a second-round guy. But, you know, dropping down to the third round, you're going to get a unanimous All-American consistent player who can change the narrative of a game just from the cornerback position. That is who Clark Phillips is. So him dropping there, honestly, Braden Daniels on any team is going to succeed. And on a running football team like the Baltimore Ravens, I absolutely love that. Dalton Kincaid, I got him going higher as well. But, of course, that first round is full of surprises. You're never going to know what's going to happen. He can go later. He can go earlier. He is a talent. There's a lot of teams that made room for tight ends this year. And so I don't know who's going to feel the itch to be able to, like, I need to trade up. And get him earlier, but I don't think he'll last to 21, top 15 at most for Dalton Kincaid for me. But yeah, Jaren Hall was a surprise. I mean, for me, Jaren Hall, I think he's a tremendous talent. You know, after watching film on him, breaking him down for KSL, I think he throws an amazing ball. He does a really good job of extending plays, keeping his eyes downfield. But I think his injuries is what's going to take him to the later rounds. I got Jaren Hall projected at, you know, kind of the later rounds to almost an undrafted free agent. I like the pick of going to Kansas City, you know, being with Andy Reid, the BYU guy. That's a BYU connection right there. And you get a solid quarterback from your alma mater. I think that's a good mix. So I like that, but I don't think they'll take him in the fourth round. I think the Chiefs, and you know it best, have a lot more things to worry about from the defensive side and even some skill positions on offense than to get another quarterback at this point.
To be honest, though, and I don't disagree with you. I think four would be high for him unless the Chiefs just really love him. So, you know how it goes, especially there. If a team really loves a guy, they'll reach up and grab him. The Chiefs actually needs more now on offense. I think they've shored up their defense pretty well. They got young in last year's draft. They've pretty much went all defense in the free agency this year. They need to find a wideout, one more wideout. They've got their veterans back, and they think Kadarius Toney could really be that guy if he stays healthy. But they also have to find another tackle and maybe a backup running back, depending on what they decide to do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because it's not his job anymore. It's Pacheco's job. But, yeah, I think Kansas City's done a pretty good job on the defensive side. Now they've just got to kind of close things out on the offensive side, and then they're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I know they need a quarterback with Henny retiring, but I still don't see. I think they need to load up on good offensive linemen to keep Patrick Mahomes clear. You know, you see when Patrick Mahomes get hampered with an injury, how it does to your team. I know he's tough, but if he's going to be your guy for the next 6 to 10 years, you need to make sure he's clean. So getting young, athletic, strong linemen are extremely important, and you're making sure that he has the weapons at his disposal. So that's why I don't think that, you know, if he goes to Kansas City, Jaren Hall would be a later round to a free agent pickup.
Catch him Saturday on the Pac-12 Network. Who are you doing the game with, by the way?
Ted Robinson.
Ted Robinson. The legend.
We're going to be breaking. Yeah, we're breaking it down, and we're doing a special tailgate. So everybody who's got a tailgate, we're going to be celebrity judges at this tailgate. So it's going to be the ultimate tailgate is back finally, you know, after a hiatus from COVID and everything. And we're going to see who has the best tailgate and get some prizes from it. So that should be pretty awesome.
So that'll be coming up Saturday. He won't be on the radio, but he will this fall with us. So enjoy the broadcast, Sly, and I will talk to you next week. We'll go heavy on the draft and a recap of the spring game next week.
You're the man, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Sly. Stephenson Sylvester with us here on the Bill Riley Show today on Utah's number one sports talk.